So this is the day that the Lord has made. The psalmist said, I will rejoice. He didn't say, if I feel like it, I will rejoice. He says, I will. What does that mean? Will means that I put my will to work for me. My will is subject to me. Amen? I will to do His will. I will to praise Him. I will to give thanks. I will to obey Him. I will to pray. I will to read the Word. Amen? I will obey the Lord. I will bless the Lord, He said, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Lord sets before us a banquet. But not everybody partakes of the banquet. Come on. Well, that looks like a lovely banquet there. And you're watching other people eat. How about you take some for yourself? Amen. Open up your heart, let them in. Hallelujah. You'll find that the Lord is good. Amen. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many discovered the Lord is really, really good? Yeah, He's good. He is joy. He is our joy. He is the strength of our life. Father God, thank You for today. Lord, You gave us the strength to get up this morning and to be here. Thank You, Lord, for all good gifts come down from above, from You, Father of lights. You're a good Father, and You give good gifts to Your children. And for that, we are grateful. We're grateful for this day, Lord, and for the body of Christ, for those of like precious faith that have come here today, God. We want to hear from You. Lord, we want to see You. We want to know You. Hallelujah. Lord, if we've missed You today, we've missed the point of our gathering together. The Lord is with us. His Spirit is here. You've got to open the door. You're the gatekeeper. He won't push the door down, but you've got to let Him in. You've got to trust Him, you see. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Open up the door and let Him in. Someone's knocking at the door. Mm-hmm. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. How many have ever sat down to a really good meal and it was so good you just wanted some more? So what do you say? Can I have some seconds or more? So we have this thing, it's more, Lord, right? Lord, we want more. Would you just tell them, you want more today? You said, I could use more. Let's stand up right now, lift our hands to the Lord, amen? Let's all lift up our hands. Come on, the Bible says to lift up holy hands, all right? So let's all lift our hands towards heaven, towards the Lord, amen, and say, more, Lord. I want more of You in my life. Lord, I want You to fill my life with Your holy presence. Lord, I ask You to cleanse me from all sin. Wash me in Your blood. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Set my heart on fire for You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo. More, Lord. You want more? Just say more, Lord. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him above everything else. And He will give you your desires. He takes care of you. Amen. Don't put your stuff before Him. Don't seek Him and His will for your life. He'll take care of the rest of that. Amen. You know, if you put God first in your life, you're not going to live a stressed life. You're not going to be able to figure it all out, but you're going to know that God's got it. And He holds me. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. He is a promise keeper. What He promises, He will do. Hallelujah. You've heard it said, if I don't understand with my mind, I trust with my heart. Amen. He said, come unto me, all you who are stressed out, burdened down with the world and the problems and the worries, the fears, even the guilt, the shame, all of it. He said, come to me. You'll find rest for your soul. There's only one place of refuge in this sin-sick, devil-filled world, and that's in Christ. He is our peace. And He is the peace that passes all understanding. But you got to open the door. You got to trust Him. And you got to let Him back in. Maybe there was a time when you did. But now you've closed the door. You've shut Him out. God says, trust me. You got to make yourself vulnerable to somebody you trust. Amen. How many know there's people sometimes you need to be able to talk to in this world that you can pour your heart out to? But you're not going to pour your heart out to somebody you don't trust. How many know you can always trust the Lord? Just give Him all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we do that one more time? Can we just lift our hands to Him? Hallelujah. And right now, in Jesus' name, I command the heaviness to come off. I ask you to loose them right now, in Jesus' name. Satan, we reject you in Jesus' name. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. We command you in Jesus' name to loose those that are here. Take your hands off now in Jesus' name. Lord, release the anointing. Break the yoke. Break the chains. Liberate the captives. Shupo. Set every spirit free here, Lord, that we can worship you with a full expression, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says David danced before the Lord. And it says with all his might. Amen. He got over himself. He didn't care anymore what people thought. And that's the best place to be. That's called liberty. Amen. Freedom from the opinions of men. Hallelujah. Because how many know people will keep you bound to their expectation of you? Amen. We've got to break that chain off. I don't care what people think. There was an old spiritual from years ago. I think it was an Andre Crouch. But I don't care what the people say. Going down on my knees and pray. I'm going to wait right here for my Jesus till He comes. He said, I don't care what the people say. I'm going down on my knees and pray. I'm going to wait, 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 wait right here for my Jesus till He comes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, can we just say hallelujah to the Lord? Oh, oh.
Hallelujah.
It's good to be free from me. Amen? Get free from you. Get out of your head and into the heart of God, into the rest of God. Hallelujah. Praise your way into His glory in the realm of the Holy Spirit. He inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. But you know, right now we're having an encounter with God, and this is the most important. This is why we come. Yes. Amen. We always say, Lord, we want you to be the center of attention. Amen. We want you to be the main attraction. Yes. Amen. It's not about a man or a woman. Amen. It's about the man, Christ Jesus. He is Lord. And every knee will bow to Him of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those under the earth. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So we confess Him. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before the Father. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And by the Holy Spirit, you can confess Jesus as Lord. Amen. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. God doesn't want us dried up. Amen. He wants us alive and well in His presence. We come to get a drink today. How about you? We're drinking from the new wine. It don't give you a hangover. Don't make you sick. Amen. I found a new way of living. I have a new normal. I don't need the inferior stuff of the world. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I really wanted to dedicate this message primarily to the focus of communion. What is communion? What we call today the Lord's Supper. And what is it? Why do we take it? Well, it basically is a meal of remembrance. Okay? It's really a reminder to the people of God of their deliverance from bondage by the blood of the Lamb, as God had delivered Israel out of bondage, amen, by the blood of the Lamb, amen. And the scripture is Exodus 12 and verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God had instructed them to sacrifice a lamb and put its blood on their doorposts, so that when the angel of death passed over, he would see the blood. Amen. And they would be spared from the wrath of God that was coming on the Egyptian. And if any house did not have the blood, the firstborn would die in that house. So today, if anyone is not covered with the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, then they will face the judgment of God without any remedy or covering for their sin. You see, in this we see a pattern, a type of Christ who is our Passover lamb, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And so God is holy. And because he is holy, unholy people cannot be in his presence. And so Jesus came to pay the price for sin so that through his precious blood, we could be forgiven, cleansed, amen, and made acceptable to God. So now, because of the blood of Christ, we can with confidence come into the throne of grace. Not based upon our own merits or goodness or righteousness, but upon his righteousness, we can stand faultless before the throne of God. We put our faith, our confidence in the blood of Christ, and not in ourselves. Many people live in condemnation, guilt, and shame because they're putting their confidence in themselves to be holy enough or righteous enough to be accepted by God. And in reality, we are not righteous, we are not holy, and we cannot come into God's presence, amen, apart from the blood of Christ. So it is the blood, amen, that makes atonement for sins, that will cover the sins of man. And in Psalms 1:5 it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Well, the truth is, apart from the righteousness of Christ, we are all ungodly, all right? We're all unrighteous. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And so Jesus took our place on the cross because we could not pay for our own sins. He paid the price that we deserved to pay. And the reason why he could do that is because the blood that was in Jesus, amen, was not the blood that was connected to the Adamic line of his forefathers. Naturally speaking, if Joseph had been his natural father, he could not qualify to be the substitute for us. Why? Because the same blood that's affected all of us, the blood of Adam, amen, would have affected him. But the Bible's very clear that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin, and that which was born in her was born of the Holy Spirit. God placed his seed, amen? He placed Christ. God became a man, amen? And the person of Jesus Christ was placed within the womb of a virgin who had never known a man, amen? Because you can link, amen, the blood of the child to the Father. Therefore, Jesus, and only Jesus, could qualify as the perfect sacrifice and substitute for our sins because he was without sin. In communion, there are two elements. There's the bread and the wine. And of course, the cup represents the blood of our Lord Jesus for our cleansing and our consecration. It's only by the blood of Christ, okay, that we can draw near or approach God. All right? And the bread represents his body, right? That was broken for us. For what reason? For our healing. How many believe that God has provided healing for us in the atonement? How many here have received a healing, even in your body? Supernatural healing, amen? Because of the broken body, amen, of Christ, he has made available to us healing today. All right? So, Paul received by revelation the instruction on communion directly from the Lord Jesus. And so in 1 Corinthians 11:23, he said, I received from the Lord. That which wasn't from tradition or from, right? But I received it from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So the Lord Jesus, he took the bread. He gave thanks, amen? And he broke it, which was symbolic, amen? That he, being the bread of life, the bread from heaven, was speaking of himself. Amen? In the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they had to pick up the manna, amen? In the wilderness, every day God provided for them, all right, these wafers that they would eat. It was a bread, a heavenly bread, angel's food, if you will. And manna means, what is it? They would say, what is that? Well, that actually was symbolic of Christ, who was the fulfillment. He would be the one that would satisfy. Come on. He would be the one that would nourish us, that would give us life. Hallelujah. And so Jesus took that bread. He broke it. He says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. So Paul said, I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd grant me understanding, revelation, utterance to speak, and I thank you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, this is my body, did he mean literally that was his body? There are some that teach it, that in communion the wafer literally becomes the body of Christ and the wine or the grape juice literally becomes the blood of Christ. No, that's not what he was saying. He's saying this symbolizes, I meant my body and my blood. And why do we know that? Because he was physically present with them when he said this. His body had not yet been given, and his blood had not yet been shed. So he was saying, this is a picture of my body, which will be broken for you. In other words, he would be broken that we might be mended. We may be made whole. So when we take of this, what we're doing is we're remembering his sacrifice. We're honoring his sacrifice for us. All right. In verse 25, it says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. What? In remembrance of me. So this was speaking of covenantal blood, all right? In other words, when a marriage is consummated, all right, there is a shedding of blood that seals that marriage union. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Amen? So intercourse is supposed to be between a man and a woman. And the act of intercourse is to seal the wedding. Are you hearing me? The covenant is sealed in blood. And we see a type of that, and that we are also sealed in this new covenant by the blood of Christ. And that's why the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. We are brought into union with him in the spirit. We become one spirit in him through the blood of the covenant, sealed in the blood of Christ. Do you see that? So today we're living in the time of this new covenant. And this covenant was put into effect by the blood of Christ. And that's why he said in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. First time I read that, I'm thinking, till he comes. It's actually a prophetic significance here, isn't there? He's talking about something that is going to happen in the future. And what does the coming of the Lord have to do with communion? Well, once again, the whole gospel message is about a marriage. It's about a bride and a bridegroom. Christ being the heavenly bridegroom and the church being the bride. Amen. And we are brought into union, amen, in the Holy Spirit through the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the covenant. Come on. And so this cup represents marital wine. In other words, we are espoused to Christ in the new covenant. And that's why when Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What did he say? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. What is he saying? He's saying, I am the groom and you are the bride. I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a dwelling place for you, my people. In my Father's house are many mansions, right? Many rooms, some translations. But he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You see, it was the groom's responsibility. Amen. After they had exchange, if you will, the initial vows of the espousal, amen, then he would return to his Father's house and do what? Prepare a home for his bride. While the bride was in a time of preparation, of being cleansed, ceremonial washings, so that she would be pure and she would be spotless. Come on. She would be beautiful for the bridegroom. So when the bridegroom returns, he's coming for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming for a beautiful bride that has been made ready. Come on. That has been purified and her garments have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come on. And if I go away, he says, I'm going to return. I'm only going away for a period of time. But in my absence, carry on. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself unspotted. Have no other gods before me. Come on. Have eyes for no one else, no other gods. Keep yourself pure. Because Jesus is returning for a pure bride. Come on. And there's only one way to be pure. And that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will repent of our sins. We can receive forgiveness, cleansing, and we can be pure in His sight. Amen. So when God looks upon you, He sees the blood. And the blood, amen, makes you holy and qualifies you for His presence. That's why we can come to our Father at any time now with confidence, because our confidence is not in ourselves anymore. We put our full trust in Jesus Christ now. And His blood and His righteousness. Amen. So I can now come with confidence knowing my Father hears my prayers because of the blood of the covenant that sanctifies me, sets me apart, covers me and qualifies me for His presence. And so the devil wants to heap condemnation on you and put you on a guilt trip and constantly rub your past in your face to keep you under condemnation, at least in yourself, so you will not have confidence in approaching God. You need to receive the forgiveness of God. You cannot earn the forgiveness of God. You can only receive it by faith that Jesus has already paid in full for every sin that we've committed. Paid in full. And when the devil comes and reminds you of your past, like someone said, remind him of his future. Because Jesus has already taken care of it. He's already overcome on my behalf. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Glory to God. That's why we can have confidence today. We can have joy today. Why? Because we're celebrating the life we have been given freely through the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when you receive the mercy and the forgiveness of God, how many know you don't want to go right out again in sin? You want to live a life that pleases the one that died for you. Amen. And rose again for you. He paid the price that you and I deserve to pay. How can we live in the lifestyle any longer? Amen. That caused him to have to go to that brutal cross. So we say thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And grant me grace this day that I can live for you. That I will have the strength, amen, to control what I do in this body. How many know you must be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, in order to control what happens in this body? The reason why so many are indulging in sin is because they're dry as dust. They have no substance in them. Amen. But if you're filled with the life of Christ, with the power of God, it will overcome your outer man, your sin nature, and you will be able to live a life that pleases God by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus will grant you the grace you need if you will come to Him. So now we can come with boldness to the throne of grace by a new and living way, which He made possible through His own shed blood. Come on. Put your eyes on Jesus today. Amen. Get yourself out of the seat of being your own Savior. That's bondage. That's legalism. Amen. Too many people live in bondage under the law. The heavy yoke. God didn't put that on you. The devil put that on you. You need to break that thing off. Amen. And say, Jesus, I receive your gentle yoke. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Life is good in the God zone. Get into the zone. Pray into the Holy Spirit. Amen. And get into the place Hallelujah, where the peace of God is now ruling in your heart and in your mind. But you're going to have to get over you in order to get into Him. Let me just say it to you this way. You cannot be full of you and full of Jesus at the same time. You have to choose each day who you're going to be filled with. Amen. Who you're going to allow to be in charge. Let me just touch on this briefly, okay? 1 Corinthians 11:27. When Paul was given instructions to the Corinthian church, he said, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Wow. Those are some sobering words. And so the question is, what does unworthy mean, or unworthy manner? Well, one answer is that there was disgraceful conduct going on in their agape feasts. These are like their potlucks, if you will, of the day. And they were in division. They had class wars going on. The rich were oppressing the poor. They were filling themselves up and letting the poor go hungry. Some of them were even getting drunk in these feasts. Believe it or not, can you imagine going to a potluck and people getting drunk at the potluck? Well, that's actually what was happening. They were having what was called a love feast. Amen. And they were indulging their flesh. They were disrespectful. There was disunity. There was factions among them. They were not recognizing the body of Christ. Come on. You and I make up the body of Christ. And we have to understand that there are no superheroes here except for one, Jesus. Amen. There's no super spiritual except one. That's Jesus. Amen. And all of us have a part in this. Every part of the body of Christ has value, is important. As a team, we work together to advance God's kingdom, God's agenda in the world. And so there's no such thing as a second-class citizen in the kingdom. It doesn't matter what echelon of society you came out of, where you came from, a trailer park or from Beverly Hills. Amen. Everybody has to come the same way to Jesus. Amen. And that is on their knees. Amen. Broken, busted, disgusted, realizing that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. And the only mercy I can find is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we all come the same way, and that is through the cross. And we are one family in Christ. How many know God saw value in everyone that's here today? When Jesus went to the cross, He saw value in you. Amen? You don't redeem something that's worthless. You are valuable to Him. We look at ourselves and we see our own unworthiness, but God sees something that we didn't see. Amen? God saw something in David. When the brothers were lined up, the seven brothers, remember? Jesse brought them out. Prophet Samuel. So, oh, this has got to be Eliab, the oldest. You know, in Jewish custom, he would have been the first choice for ascending the throne, amen? But God says, no, I've not received him. He went through seven brothers. Surely this must be the anointed of the Lord. He says, is this all you got? Because God said, no. He said, well, there is one left out here. He's out there tending sheep. Probably doesn't think very highly of himself either, by the way. Because a shepherd was not like on the top rung in the amen in societal echelon, if you will. But he said, bring him here. And God said, this is the one. Ha! The least likely. The one that nobody else expected. The least of his brethren. He says, you're perfect. How many know God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? And the things that are not to, what? To bring to nothing those things that are. That no one can boast. Amen. It's about the grace of God that we've all been recipients of. Praise God. Amen. It's not because we are special or better than somebody else. Come on. Some people have that mentality even in the church. Jesus went to the cross in spite of you, in spite of me. It wasn't because we deserved it, but because he loved us and he saw value in us. And he knew that the only way for us to be saved was that he would take the punishment that we deserved. That's the only way. And he was willing to lay down his life. No one took his life from him. He laid it down willingly for you and me. For God so loved the world. God so loved you and me. We are debtors. We owe the rest of our lives to live for Jesus because of what he's done for us. It should be our reasonable service to give ourselves back to him now. If you are in Christ today, if you have been born again, you are now the bride, amen, that is in preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. Now is a time to prepare yourself for eternity, amen. Because when you and I take our last breath, who we are at that moment is who we're going to be for eternity. You will not be able to go back and change anything, confess anything, renounce anything. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day, amen, to get it right with God. God has provided for you a means by which you can be made right with him, and that is through the blood of Jesus. No other way, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's coming. Get ready. Don't be asleep. Make sure you got oil. Be a glutton for his presence. Stay filled, stay topped off. Amen? So that your light will be shining. I pray, Lord, out of my life, like the old hymn says, let Jesus shine. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray you make us beautiful. Lord, make this congregation beautiful. Lord, we pray. Would you just say now, Lord, I ask you right now. Would you cleanse me from all of my sins? Forgive me, Lord. Wash me in your precious blood. In Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now listen. Discerning the body of Christ. God commands us in the new covenant, a new commandment which was really not a new. But the law and the prophets spoke of this one commandment. That is, love God and love one another. Come on. This is the commandment. And when we love one another, hear me, as God loved us, it means that we forgive one another even as Christ forgave us. Because Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. That's sobering. And I pray, God, if I'm holding on to anything in my heart, any grudges, any ill will towards a brother or sister, I pray, Lord God, that you'll root that thing out of me. And Lord, I ask that you give me the grace to, from my heart, forgive that brother or sister. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes right now? And ask the Lord, if there's anyone in your life that you're holding a grudge against, you're holding unforgiveness towards, you say, I cannot forgive that person. Well, understand it is because of the mercy of God that you can be forgiven today. And if God so loved you and gave himself for you, he expects us to do the same for our brethren. Ask him for the grace right now, Lord. I ask you for the grace to be able to let this person go. You see, forgiveness means cancel the debt. That the debt is being canceled. They no longer owe you anything. When you hold on to an offense, you're saying you owe me. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hold you captive by my bitterness towards you. And God says you've got to let that go or that will destroy your soul. You see, unforgiveness to the soul is like cancer to the body. It will eat you up. It will destroy you. And God wants you to be free today. There's someone here, I believe it, that you need to let that person go. That didn't matter what they did. It didn't mean that it was good that they did or right what they did. But doing the right things means I'm going to obey God regardless of how I feel. I'm going to take a step of action and I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to release that person as an act of my will in agreement with the known will of God, which is the Word of God. And if I will do what God says to do, He will give me the grace to follow through with it. Do you believe that today? Now there's somebody that God has brought to your mind. You saw that face. Now I want you to do this. If you want to get off that hook, you want to get that monkey off your back, you want to get free from that thing, you're going to have to let that person go. Or you're going to be held captive by that. And what happens is you open the door to the demonic, to the demons to torment your life because you refuse to forgive somebody. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It meant for you to live the rest of your life in torment. So I want you right now to speak to that person. Speak to them. And tell them as an act of faith before the Lord and say, Lord, give me the grace to forgive this person. Name them. And say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. I release you. You owe me nothing. I let you go. You're free to go. In Jesus' name. And say, Father, I thank you that I am forgiven because of your mercy. Is there someone else? I say, Lord, is there someone else I need to forgive right now? Maybe you can't go to that person in person, but you can from your heart right now. You can release them. I want you to pull them right up out of you and let them go. Say, I release this. I release you. You owe me nothing. You are forgiven. In Jesus' name, I cancel the debt. Do it now. And as you do that, you feel that lifting right off you right now. That freedom is coming. I sense it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's not because we deserved your sacrifice, but because of your mercy, we are forgiven. So, Lord, help us to forgive one another. Lord, help us to love one another with your love, the love of the Lord. Is there somebody else? Just name that person. Let them go. Maybe there's several people. Just name that person and tell them, I forgive you. I release you. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for forgiving me. I receive your forgiveness. Hallelujah. Holy God. Holy God. Holy is your name, God. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to fill every void in my body, soul, and spirit with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I receive you. Fill my life with your holy presence. Amen. I just felt that break in here today. Thank you, Father. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, God, that our sins are forgiven because of Calvary, because of your sacrifice, because of what you've done. Hallelujah. We are a spouse to you. We are your bride. Make us holy. Make us ready for you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 If you feel like you have released those people, you're at peace now with the Lord, you've confessed, you've renounced your sins, then we can partake of this together. And Father, as we do so, I pray that the healing will be released. Your healing will be released, Lord, into our bodies and even into our souls, into our emotions, every part of our being. Lord, we pray, hallelujah, that the blood will cleanse in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And I say to you today, be healed in Jesus' name. And as we partake of the wine, this was a pledge. As the groom would hand the bride the cup, she would take and drink of the cup. And by doing so, she says, "I agree to the covenant. I agree to the contract that I will be committed to you from this day forward." And so we lift up the cup, which is the marital wine. Hallelujah. And we pledge our faith anew. Lord, everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. I am married to you. I pledge my faith anew this day in Jesus' name until we drink of this together in your kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah.